It is 5 p.m. and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and you're listening to Kingston Currents. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Yesterday was officially the kickoff of Give30 2024, and Kingston is aiming to surpass last year's record high. Give30 is a grassroots, volunteer-run initiative to bring attention to hunger in our communities and encourage people of all backgrounds to support food banks during the month of Ramadan. The initiative now supports 17 major food banks and anti-poverty organizations across Canada and one in the USA, which together serve hundreds of thousands of people. Last year, Kingston's chapter of Give30 broke their previous record of $16,000, raising around $25,000 through the campaign. This year, Kingston's chapter of Give30 is determined to break their record of $25,000. Kingston's campaign supports the Partners in Mission Food Bank. In 2023, a record 1 in 19 people received a food hamper from Partners in Mission. While Ramadan extends from March 11th to April 9th, 2024, the campaign launched yesterday on March 4th and will be running until June 10th. I sat down with Mona Rahman with Kingston's Give30 team to talk about this year's campaign.
For those who aren't familiar or just need a refresh, what is Give30?
So Give30 is a campaign that was started in 2012, and it really came out, I think, the person who founded it, Ziad Mia, he was putting his coffee mug away for the month of Ramadan because we were going to be fasting that month. And somebody made a joke that's like, oh, you must save a lot of money during Ramadan. And that actually got him thinking that, yeah, I do save money. I'm not getting coffee. I'm not buying lunch. It's like, what if we do something with this money that we're saving? And of course, part of Ramadan, I mean, Ramadan is a month where it's a month of self-discipline, of doing things that would bring you closer to God. So we increase our worship, we increase our charity, we increase our prayers, reading Quran and things like that. So, and one of the side effects of fasting during the day is that you feel hunger and hopefully that will allow us to empathize with those that are dealing with hunger and thirst on a regular basis, not just for, you know, we get to eat at sunset. They may not have the means of doing that. So this was a really good way to tie in, you know, let's translate what we're feeling and then the spirit of Ramadan and the generosity and help those who are within our community by helping the food bank. And there is a tradition, there is a saying in our tradition where the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, advised us that none of you truly believes if you go to bed with your stomach satiated while your neighbor goes hungry. And for us, a neighbor is 40 houses in every direction. So it really is, we should really be taking care of each other as a community and making sure that those around us, you know, we just don't think about ourselves, but think about those that are in need within our own community. And this is a way of doing that. So the campaign actually starts the week before Ramadan, and we've been extending it past Ramadan, sort of around the second Eid, the second holiday that we have. So we're going from March 11th to June 10th this year. And it really is, it's a way of partnering with your local food bank and helping support the food bank. The food bank has been just the pressure on our food bank has been increasing. And, you know, we saw a really big need during COVID as people are losing their jobs, but also with the rising costs of food, which has been a real struggle this year. I think he's quoted as saying that 1 in 19 people received a food hamper last year from them. And that's like, you know, Partners in Mission Food Bank runs on donations from the community, right? There's no government funding, there's no agency funding. So it is a way that we can really help each other And especially those in our community that are hungry.
Absolutely. And despite all the challenges our community is going through, last year, Kingston set a new record, beating the previous record by almost 10K. Such an impressive year. I was wondering if you could speak a bit to that, and also if there are any goals this year, or if we're just aiming to keep up the good work.
Well, I think we were all taken aback by how much we were able to raise last year. It was like almost 25,000. And that is, like, honestly, it is through the generosity of our community members. We don't do any real active drives. It's just spreading the word. It's mainly an online fundraiser. We do encourage schools. So we did have some schools do food drives towards Give 30. The Islamic school did a food drive as well. So it's just that raising of awareness during this campaign and any other campaign that the Partners in Mission does. But yeah, it was, we were actually blown away. And so because we reached, you know, pretty much 25,000. Of course, the goal this year is going to be 25,000 so that we can see if we can break that as well. So, you know, if we were able to do it last year, let's, you know, encourage our friends. If you donated, donate again and encourage your friends, your neighbors, and your coworkers. He's like, oh, join me in doing that. So if we keep doing that each year and keep increasing, it really is a benefit to the entire community. And I know that year after year, we hear that, okay, we're okay now, but they're in terms of forecasting for, you know, the winter, it is always a struggle for the food bank. So, I mean, it's not that, hopefully we get to a point where we don't need it. And I think I spoke to some of the people that actually were involved in the initialization of our food bank and the mission. And the goal was always to sort of get over a hump and get to a point where it's not needed anymore. Unfortunately, we're not there yet.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully this year we can keep up that momentum from last year and reach our goals. How can folks contribute this year?
So it's really easy. Like I said, it's an online fundraiser. You just go to give30.ca/donate and you find, so this is across Canada, and there's actually one community in the States as well that is participating. So all you do is you go to give30.ca/donate, find the local food bank. So if you're from Kingston, it's Partners in Mission Food Bank. If you're from another community, you know, there's many communities that are participating, and you can just, you'll be taking to the Partners in Mission Food Bank page. You pick the Give 30 campaign and just donate. I mean, it's really, really easy. If there is an organization that, or a school that wants to do a fundraiser, maybe a food drive, just let us know. I have, this year we've set up a sign up sheet. It's tinyurl.com/give30ygk. And if you just let us know what you're doing, we'll help publicize through our social media channels, and just to get people just aware of what's how they can contribute, whether it's by money or I know in the past we've had a business that has you know, donated proceeds of their sales. I mean, that's something, it's an idea that restaurants might want to do, maybe, and, you know, pick a week in Ramadan, pick all of Ramadan, or just pick a day where you say, I'm gonna donate a percentage of sales from this day to the food bank. In bigger communities, I know that restaurants had hosted an iftar, which is the meal to break your fast. So they actually had hosted a public iftar, and proceeds of that went to the Give 30 campaign in their community. So that was, I think it was Winnipeg that did that. So there's a lot of different ways, and I would encourage people to be creative in how they want to raise awareness and join the campaign and raise funds. And I will say that, you know, food drives are amazing. We do want people to realize that our community is diverse. And if you are thinking of contributing food, maybe think about what you yourself serve at your table and donate that, because our community is diverse. And so the people that use the food bank are also diverse. Not everybody, I love pasta, but not everybody eats pasta. It's not a staple for all cultures. So, you know, that's the easiest thing, is like whatever you would serve, maybe think about donating that. But yeah, I would say be creative and see fun. I mean, there could be fun ways of just raising money to help each other.
Once again, as Mona stated, you can donate to the Give 30 campaign at give30.ca. And if you have an initiative you'd like to run, you can let them know at tinyurl.com/give30ygk. Before we get into more local news, I'm going to turn to our weather and traffic report for this evening. For your weather tonight, we're expecting cloudy skies this evening with showers. Winds will be around 20 kilometers per hour this evening. We have a low of +4. Looking forward to tomorrow, we have showers ending early in the morning, then cloudy with a 40% chance of drizzle. Winds will be 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50. We have a high of 6 and a UV index of 2 or low. For tomorrow night, we're expecting overcast skies with winds 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50. We have a low of +2. Now it's time for your CFRC weekly traffic report. Reduced load restrictions are in effect in Kingston as of now. Heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. PSPC wishes to advise users that LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to motorists due to a major rehabilitation project during the following periods: Monday, March 11th to Thursday, March 14th from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m., Friday, March 15th at 8 p.m. to Monday, March 18th at 5 a.m., and Monday, March 18th to Thursday, March 21st from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. During these periods, all lanes will be closed to vehicular traffic in both directions. The sidewalks will remain open to pedestrians and cyclists. PSPC encourages users to exercise caution when traveling on the bridge and thanks them for their patience. In road closures, University Avenue Union to Earl is closed for the Queens JDUG project. In other delays, Queen Street, Montreal to Sydenham, expect an eastbound lane closure until April 1st, 2024. Detours will be in place for the duration of the lane closure. Now back to more local news. April 8, 2024, a rare total solar eclipse will grace Kingston, Ontario, promising a once-in-a-lifetime spectacle. To highlight its significance and ensure a safe and unforgettable viewing experience, the Queen's Observatory is hosting various events leading up to the date. CFRC's Chloe Paris sat down with Nikhil Arora with the Queen's Observatory to chat about Session 2 of their special webinar series taking place tonight from 6 to 7:30 p.m. and their event Astronomy on Tap taking place on Thursday.
Hello, this is Chloe Paris, and I am joined here today by Nick Arora of the Department of Physics, Engineering, Physics, and Astronomy here at Queen's University to discuss the upcoming webinar, part of the Solar Eclipse series on March 5th, as well as the event Astronomy on Tap for March 7th. Thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you for having me.
I was just wondering if you could provide me a little brief overview on what to expect when attending the webinar.
Right. Yeah, okay. So on April 8th, 2024, a particular cosmic coincidence is happening. The sun, the moon, and the earth are coming in perfect alignment, and the moon will actually cast a shadow on the earth, and that is called a solar eclipse. We're all getting excited towards that because it's really a once-in-a-lifetime event. What we expect is that once the moon actually does cast a shadow on Kingston, we'll have 3 minutes of complete darkness during the afternoon, wow, around 3:20. And so to prepare the crowd, the Kingston community, the Queens community, as much as possible, and get them excited about this upcoming total solar eclipse, this upcoming once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, we're organizing eclipse webinars. These webinars are basically a series of talks given by experts telling people about what's so special about the eclipse. How often do they happen? What safety things to keep in mind when actually looking up at the sky during the eclipse? And what are some other cool things about the eclipse? How have we used eclipses as natural phenomena to better understand our solar system and the universe at large?
Wow, that sounds like a really fantastic opportunity, especially to get like knowledge on this, again, once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Exactly, yeah.
Will there be opportunities for people to ask questions or?
Absolutely, yeah. So the whole event is planned to be on March 5th at 6 p.m. going all the way to 7:30. The first 50 minutes is roughly two experts, Professor Mark Richardson and Professor Laura Fissel from the Department of Physics, Engineering, Physics, and Astronomy, leading people through what to expect with the eclipse. And then the later on, about another 40 minutes are left for questions for the community.
Awesome. That's so great.
Yeah.
And how can interested individuals register for this upcoming webinar?
Yeah. So if you just Google Queen's Eclipse 2024, it should take you to our Eclipse webpage. And on that webpage, just go to upcoming events. And the first thing you will see is the Solar Eclipse webinar series. And that you'll see a big button called register here.
Perfect. And register. What would be the last day for kind of people to be registering?
We are pretty lenient with the registration. So anytime before March 4th is a great time to register.
Awesome.
Although I will say there is a cap at 300 people. And these things, because of how popular the eclipse is filling up. Register as soon as you can.
Get on it, guys. This is for the upcoming webinar, part of the Solar Eclipse series on March 5th. And I was wondering if you could tell me some details on the event Astronomy on Tap for March 7th.
So this is also continuing to build excitement in the community about the total solar eclipse that's happening on April 8th, but it's doing it in a unique fashion. It's kind of combining two of my favorite things. Astronomy, because I'm an astronomer, and beer.
Nice.
So Astronomy on Tap is a worldwide series where scientists, astronomers, actually just invade a bar and talk to the bar patrons about astronomy over a pint of beer.
Oh, wow.
So we're actually doing something creative or innovative with the format, and we're actually having debate-style talks within a bar.
That's so fun.
So this time, we're titling our event A Cosmic Collision, The Sun versus the Moon.
Ooh.
We're going to have a professor from RMC, Professor Greg Wade, and a professor from Queen's Geology, Professor Christopher Spencer, sort of taking a side about from the sun and a side about the moon and talk about the solar system at large, both its formation and where it is today. And sort of loop in this eclipse that's coming in a month from March 7th.
That sounds like a really fantastic opportunity for people to get involved.
Absolutely.
Especially in such a relaxing way.
Yeah.
So where is this event being held and what time is it being held?
So the event is being held at the Mansion on Princess Street. I don't remember the exact address.
Yes, on Princess.
On Princess Street. The pre-show starts at 6:30 with the main show starting at 7 p.m. On March 7th. Space is once again limited, so come in as soon as you can. People can order non-alcoholic and alcoholic drinks and just get to interact with our speakers, along with our host, who's also an astronomer, Professor Mark Richardson as well. And then there will be other geologists and astronomers on site as well to facilitate one-on-one interactions as well.
So sounds like a great opportunity for lots of questions and different resources.
If you ever want to come talk to me about aliens, this is the time.
I may take you up on that. So I know you discussed some of the significance of the solar eclipse, but can you tell me a little bit more about its significance being here in Kingston?
Right. It's a complete coincidence. So as I said, every once in a while, and when I say once in a while, that's roughly 18 months or so, the sun, the moon, and the earth actually align perfectly, causing a solar eclipse, causing an eclipse. Now, if the moon is in the center, it blocks off some of the light from the sun, and that is called a solar eclipse, which is basically the sun getting eclipsed. Now, because most of Earth is actually water, most of the time when these eclipses happen, they actually pass over waters, oceans. So we don't necessarily always get a chance to see them. However, every 400 years or so, a city will get the chance to actually observe totality. And that's the case with Kingston this time around. It is the first time in roughly 700 years or so that Kingston is a path of totality. So the last total solar eclipse that passed through Kingston was in the year 1349.
Wow.
And the next time an eclipse is going to pass through Kingston is on August 2nd, 2399, in 375 years.
So when you say this is a rare event.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm actually busy on that day.
I am too, unfortunately.
So it is truly a once-in-a-lifetime event for people to be a part of it. Not only is it a once-in-a-lifetime event, but it's actually something super cool that happens. Definitely. For about 3 minutes and 4 seconds, the city will go in complete darkness during the day around 3:20 p.m., which means you'll have access to the night sky. You'll be able to see planets. You'll be able to see stars all during the day. I have seen two of these already, and it is... There is no one single word to describe your experience when totality actually happens. Right. I think I've come up with a phrase to describe the totality.
Okay, let's hear.
And that is, when nature puts on a show, you just stop and watch it.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way I can describe this.
Definitely. Well, it's not something you see every day. It's not something you can create from any human-made thing.
No. Yeah.
It's really a cool experience. And it sounds like you guys have a lot of exciting ways for the community to be involved and to educate. I'm already being educated, right? I'm so invested. I'm like, tell me more. So are there any other exciting events or initiatives planned for this upcoming solar eclipse?
Absolutely. There is a lot of events planned, not just by the Queen's Physics Department, but all across the city from various sort of collaborations across this within our city partners. And so I think the best way to keep in touch with some of the upcoming events is, once again, our website and the upcomings page. Apart from Astronomy on Tap and Solar Eclipse webinar series, we have a couple talks happening at the public library, one at the downtown branch, which is titled 101 Ways to Experience the Eclipse. It will be given by me and Professor Mark Richardson. And then there's another talk at the Isabel Turner branch of the public library, which will be how the 1919 solar eclipse changed our understanding of space and time, given by Professor Larry Vidrow, from the Department of Physics.
Wow. Yeah. So it sounds like there's a lot of events happening before April 8th.
Yeah, yeah.
So definitely lots of ways to get involved, lots of ways to stay educated.
Yeah. There is a safety concern when you look up at the eclipse. I don't think it comes as a surprise that no one should be looking at the sun. Right. Chloe, should you be looking at the sun?
No.
Absolutely not. So to all of the people and in the Queen's community, we are providing eclipse glasses. And so we're actually figuring out our distribution strategies, which involves partnering up with the public library, with the school boards, and on Queen's campus. And so starting sort of middle of March, you'll be able to pick up these eclipse glasses for free and experience the eclipse safely.
Okay, so listen here, guys. You need to pick up glasses if you want to see this once-in-a-lifetime eclipse. And this will be handed out where again? The library?
So we are figuring out exact location still. So I'm not at liberty to tell
these
locations. But once again, if you go to our website, you can see our distribution strategy there as well.
Perfect.
There's a big button which says where to get eclipse glasses.
Awesome. Sounds really accessible.
You should be able to get those, yeah.
Perfect. Well, that was very informative, and I've learned a lot. Is there anything else you'd like to add about the upcoming webinar or the?
I think the one thing that I can say is I think this eclipse is actually a unique event for us. As a scientist, as a physicist, I want to talk to people about science as much as possible. But this eclipse provides me with the opportunity to talk to as many people as possible, because A, how simple it is as a phenomenon, but B, how simple it is to experience it.
Definitely.
You just have to step out of your house or your workplace for roughly about 10 to 20 minutes, and you're a part of it. You are an honorary astronomer on that day.
Wow.
This is how astronomy used to happen in the 1500s. People would just step out of their house without any fancy equipment and look up at the sky. It's the first science you ever experience, even today. And I think that is one thing that I want to emphasize on as many people, on as many platforms as possible, that we're trying to create an environment which includes any and everybody who wants to be a part of this and basically become an astronomer for a day and see what it feels like.
So awesome. Yeah, like I'm in sociology and I don't get a lot of science talk in my day-to-day.
Well, you know where to find me.
Exactly. No, this is really great opportunity, because it's also not just... It's not just theoretical science, it's actually,
you are a part of it.
Yes, observable. Yeah. Like I can. Yeah. It's a moment in history that I can definitely like tell my kids about
exactly.
as well.
And yeah, think about any other astronomical thing that you read on the news: a meteor shower, mm-hmm. or a comet that you want to see, or a planet that you want to see. You either need expensive telescopes to go see yes. it, or you have to drive to dark locations because city centers are generally not good enough to look at the sky because right. of light pollution. This is not the case for the eclipse. All you need is a pair of glasses that we're providing you, and you're there. You're an astronomer. Wow. I think that's a very, very profound experience on April 8th that I want as many people to have as possible.
I think you guys are doing a great job at making people aware and giving great information, too. So I definitely expect to see a lot of people wearing glasses on April 8th.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so, so much for coming in thank and educating me about yeah. the solar eclipse.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So guys, sign up on their website.
Once again, that was Chloe Paris sitting down with Nick Arora. You can find more information and upcoming events on the Queen's Eclipse 2024 website. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming. To hear more from some of our guests and get your news on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.